led by urban tour leaders. And in every case, they were visiting both the Skidmore Historical District south of Burnside and the New Chinatown, Japantown Historic District north of Burnside. So on behalf of our residents and our visitors from all over the state who are so important to us because we have this gem, I ask you to support it.
Welcome. I am here, Adele Nofield, representing Susan Miller from Hoyt Street Properties, who had to leave this evening. Dear council members, Hoyt Street Properties, LLC, as the largest developer in the Pearl District, supports the Burnside Cooch Company. As we continue in our commitment to develop a world-class, environmentally responsible urban neighborhood in the Pearl District, we encourage the council to give their support to this very necessary and important plan to remove the barrier currently created by West Burnside and improve the flow of both traffic and pedestrians from south to north. The economic health of the Pearl District and success of future redevelopment of the North End in particular will rely heavily on transportation plan that not only allows and encourages traffic to enter the district from West Burnside, but which thereafter provides for safe and easy movement within the district. Your support of this plan is important to the future vitality of this city.
Hi, my name is Laura Castleberry, and I just want to thank all of you for allowing us this opportunity and for being so patient, and especially Commissioner Adams, because you've taken some hard licks. And I know it's near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. I've heard so much on both sides that's very compelling. However, I am here to ask you to give, I don't know whether to give more thought, but to support the enhanced Burnside project, because I worry, I kind of ditto the lady in black behind me and the gentleman in white behind me about concerns about loss of diversity and creativity and financial situation, because I think in trying to make it humanized, to make it, which is, I don't know the word, but anyway, we have not taken into account all the human beings that will be affected by this and that will have to, in the end, pay for this. And I'm afraid that some of the social services will not be able to stay there because of the rents going up and things. And obviously there's a problem, a very serious problem about safety. But I would like to see us, because we have so many projects going on now that are very costly and very unsettling to the Portland community, that I would hate to see another long-term one. What is that? Anyway, so I appreciate your time. I thought it was me setting it off or something. I don't know.
Kind of.
I probably am.
Your time's running out.
Okay, that's it. I just would like you to consider alternative ways of providing safety to all of these people. And thank you for this wonderful process. I just feel so fortunate to live in this city. I can't tell you. I think it's wonderful. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Adrian Hill, Stuart Smith, and Bing Sheldon. How about Ann Colonna? Colonna? They'll be followed by TK Nakarami and David Gold and Patricia Gardner.
Good afternoon. Thank you for sticking around this afternoon and taking the time to hear us talk with you. My name is Adrian Hill. I sit on the board of the Goose Hollow Foothills League. I am a resident of Kings Hill, and I'm the mother of two little boys who are both at home right now, hopefully in bed. Otherwise, they'd be here to show you their shining faces. They are 4 and 6 years old. I want to talk with you tonight as a mom and as a resident who's committed to the Goose Hollow neighborhood and the Northwest Portland neighborhood, which is just across from us on Burnside. There is a moratorium in effect in my neighborhood on children crossing West Burnside without an adult. It's the result of a recent run-in one of our kids had with a vehicle on Burnside. They were crossing with an older sibling, were nearly hit. And as a result, the moms in my neighborhood got together and decided that they would no longer allow the children to cross Burnside. The kids in my neighborhood are very clear on what that means for them. It means no more unsupervised trips to the ice cream store. It means no more walking to and from music class. It means no more attending playdates of friends over on Northwest Davis. For those of us who live in the neighborhood, safety is our number one concern. And we haven't heard today about the safety of the kids who live either in Goose Hollow or in the Northwest neighborhood, including the area that borders on the Cathedral School. Some of these children I see out on Burnside on a daily basis, and some of these kids are what we would call at risk. And as you've heard this evening, these kids don't have a voice to speak for them within this forum. By definition, that's why they are at risk. And the proposal that's on the table tonight would give them great benefit, greater access to the city, and make their lives more safe on a day-to-day basis. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Stuart Smith. I reside at 2220 Southwest Main Street in Goose Hollow. I spent the last 12 years before moving to Portland in Beijing, Hong Kong, Singapore, and Australia financing infrastructure projects. So I could speak at length about the couplet and what's being done here, what's contemplated to be done here, and how that compares to what's been done elsewhere. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here because, like Adrian, I'm a parent. I'm a Goose Hollow parent. We've heard a lot about safety issues in Lower Burnside. There are a lot of children in Goose Hollow. There are a lot of Goose Hollow parents. Anyone who doesn't think Burnside is an obstacle hasn't crossed it with one hand on a stroller and a child's hand in the other hand. It is very difficult to get to the services for our neighborhood, all of which are on the north side of Burnside, without dealing with that obstacle. Coming back to my background, I'm a permanent resident of Hong Kong and Singapore. Could have lived anywhere on earth. However, I'm one of those types who's come to Portland. I've come to Portland because Portland, I believe, has a very well-justified reputation as being a family-friendly city. The couplet, in my mind, is a very, very strong exemplar of that family-friendly attitude. Once completed, it's going to knit together southwest, northwest, and if you address the 405 pedestrian crossings, the Pearl as well. It's exactly what Portland needs. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Ann Colonna, and I both live and work in the Pearl District, and I'd like to ask you to please support the couplet with the streetcar. I get up every morning and I jog, and if I choose to go south of the neighborhood, I have to cross Burnside, and I can tell you that by far it is the most dangerous intersection that I cross, and that's even at 5:30 in the morning. I work along NATO Parkway, and that's 45 miles an hour, and I feel much safer on that street than I do on Burnside because they have the added parking and the bike lane. And my husband and I only share one car between us, so that means that I usually have public transportation as my option. I think that the addition of the streetcar is great for all of those in the Pearl District as well as the rest of the city. And so I'd really ask you to please think of everyone, not just the few residents in the brewery blocks, when you're considering this plan. In addition, I don't know if you remember the article that came out in the Oregonian about the levels of benzene in our air, but after having watched the plan today and how that's going to lower the idling time along Burnside in that area, I really ask you, because right now the benzene levels in our neighborhood are the highest in the city, and that does worry me as a resident. I'm there, and I work there all the time, so please do support this plan. Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
Our next three are T.K. Nakayami, David Gold, and Patricia Gardner. About Brad Perkins?
You first.
Good evening.
Here goes.
Just a second.
Oh. Good evening, Mayor, Commissioners. I feel like I'm a finalist in Survivor tonight, staying so long. My name is David Gold, and along with my partner, Howard Davis, I own the Goldsmith Blocks in Old Town Chinatown. Our property includes four buildings on one block between Cooch and Burnside, between 4th and 5th, and the Chinatown parking lot, 40,000 square foot surface parking lot between Cooch and Davis and 4th and 5th. Our property has been described or referred to as a catalytic development site for the neighborhood. The two blocks straddle Northwest Cooch, and in addition, I'm in the process of purchasing four buildings that face the parking lot between Cooch and Davis on 5th, which is where Three Lions Bakery is, that whole row of buildings. Old Town Chinatown needs economic development now. When I was considering whether to purchase the Goldsmith blocks, I consulted with Art DeMuro, who is redeveloping the White Stag buildings for the University of Oregon. He told me the good news, that Chinatown, Old Town, was on the brink of an incredible economic revitalization. Then he told me the bad news, that he'd been saying that for 20 years. My two greatest concerns about Burnside are, first, the pedestrian barrier and the traffic and the crossings create, and second, the inability of eastbound traffic to turn left into Old Town. The couplet addresses both these issues better than the alternatives. Next comes the impediment to investment in the area. West Burnside is not a desirable development area. For example, commercial interests have spoken with their actions, U.S. Bank closing their doors on Burnside as well as Whole Foods. Without the couplet, there is a greater likelihood that my property will be developed without the Burnside frontage currently occupied by the Grove Hotel. Likewise, I believe other Burnside developments will turn their back on the street. I strongly support both the couplet and the streetcar. Some opponents argue that the investment for both these projects is too great. I believe that the increased public safety, improved street environment, and substantial job creation more than justifies the expense. In addition, the increased property tax revenue will pay for the improvements in a reasonable time frame. My time is up. I urge you to support the couplet and the streetcar as proposed today, and trust you will do the right thing. Thank you.
Good.
Ladies first.
All right. Patricia Gardner, 1116 Northwest Johnson. I am here on behalf of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association, the Planning and Transportation Committee, which supports the extension of the one-way grid, a.k.a. the couplet. I need to give you a vision of the Pearl in the next, I would say, 5 or 10 years. According to plans of Gertie Edlin and according to the streetcar, the entire Pearl is going to become a couplet, all of it. It's all going to go one way. If we're lucky, we'll be able to keep 13th two ways. So in essence, if you don't approve moving this forward, we're going to have a downtown of couplets and we're going to have a Pearl District of couplets and no way to connect. So that's something to take into consideration. The other thing is regarding the enhanced existing option, it only costs $4 million left if you don't throw in the streetcar into that. It's only $4 million left. And what do you get? You get to cut down the median trees. You get limited turn lanes. You don't get a streetcar. You don't widen any sidewalk in the Pearl District. You don't get any reduction of traffic or any efficiency that a one-way system offers you. I'd like you very much to keep in mind the big picture rather than these the one street, the three city blocks that have had quite a bit of a dissent here this evening. The project is about Portland values. It's about sustainability. It's about mass transit. It's about pedestrian streets, multimodal access, and a fantastic, exhaustive community process. Not only did we have stakeholder meetings, but we had I think 10 public meetings. I mean, the number of times people had doors knocked on because, so just in general, I want to get to everything. The other thing is I want to ask this question. Where is the big vision of connectivity? Are we to be balkanized from each other by psychological and physical barriers of the river, Burnside, the freeway, Broadway, the Pearl Enclave? Or can we instead look at another vision by spanning the barriers? Start with Burnside. We can begin a conversation of one city, one downtown. According to the Central City Plan, the Pearl District is part of the downtown. We'd like to connect to it, and so would our business. Finally, and in conclusion, there's something on the wall that I really like. It's a little plaque down at the bottom, and it says this: there comes a time in the development of every city when people must look beyond the needs of the moment and take action for the future. This is that moment. So.
Good evening, Brad Perkins. I'm a land use chair of the Irvington Neighborhood Association, member of the Streetcar East Side Alignment Committee, and also I'm a commercial broker. But I'm opposed to the couplet, and I'm in favor of a unique main street on Burnside. I've been around the world quite a bit, around the United States and noticed that many main streets and towns and cities have been destroyed by couplets. I live in Northeast, right near the Broadway-Widener couplet, which is a major failure in my mind as far as a pedestrian-oriented street. Traffic speed is a problem. Getting across at the intersections is very dangerous. So it's better to enhance Burnside. It's better to calm the traffic with better signalization. I mean, it's so simple. Make it safer through improved intersections. Again, very simple. Zebra stripes on the intersections, like they've done on Alberta. Adding another busy street, though, doubles the busy intersections on Cooch. With the addition of streetcar, the Burnside Cooch on couplet has been a top-down approach to planning by Sam Adams. No roll-up-your-sleeves process by the general public has occurred. Eastside streetcar will take about 8 to 9 years before it's a reality, but it's been processed by three different community groups. Another streetcar leg on the west side to Hollywood via Sandy diminishes the chance for a streetcar line to Hollywood via Broadway-Widener, which we are really looking forward to on the east side. Your approval now for a couplet on Burnside Cooch with a streetcar sets a priority for a new streetcar line before the new hiring Patrick Sweeney by the city begins his work on the inner city as to where to put the next streetcar line. The couplet plan should not be proposed as a build or no-build proposal. Major investors or developers will not just walk away if the couplet does not happen. As a broker who works with developers, I know they want definition by the city. I'll end by this. But how do we get this at definition? It's interesting that Gil Kelly, the planning department, is not here tonight. But he will be starting the comprehensive plan that we all in the inner city are looking forward to. Why not include this idea with that plan? Thank you.
Our next three are Rick Parker, Elise Weefers, and Ted Rowe.
You read the next name?
Doug Klotz.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name's Rick Parker. I have a family business on Grand and East Burnside that's been there since the 20s, and I am here tonight to ask your support for the West Burnside Cooch preferred alternative. I've been part of the stakeholders group since the beginning, seems like a long time now, and also part of Friends of Burnside. We've studied this thing, obviously, for years and for a long time, and as far as the east side is concerned, it's we've talked a lot here about the west side and the way Burnside divides it. It means a lot to the east side to have a project like this that ties both the east and west side together. I think it's extremely important that this process moves on. To me, this is kind of once in a lifetime of being able to improve Burnside. I believe the streetcar, once again, will really tie east and west together. And I appreciate your time and ask for your support on this project. Thank you.
My name is Ilse Weffers. Good evening. I am an American citizen. And I am a resident of the city of Portland, and I am honored to be here. First of all, I am also a member of Cathedral Parish, and I have seen in the last 47 years that I have lived here how beautiful Portland has developed. And we live here because of the beauty and the families and the human values that we all support and want to bring into this project. With all the work and the hard work that Mr. Adams has made, and all the people that have been connected with him, the business people, the politicians, and the developers, I respect their work. But I, as an old person, would suggest for you to think it very carefully. okay, to think very carefully the weak parts, the fragile parts of that you are going to be touching and maybe harming if you are not careful with what you are doing. My suggestion is it is much better to go back to the drawing board than to start something that is going to be very harmful. I am all for improving the city, for improving communications, for improving the safety of the people in Burnside. But please, please, give it a serious consideration. I do not support at the moment the way that is being done, with all respect.
Hi. Doug Klotz, K-L-O-T-Z. I was on the Burnside Stakeholder Committee at least the first several years. I am also a co-founder of the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition, and I've been on the City of Portland's Pedestrian Advisory Committee since its founding. And I work with all those organizations. We have studied pedestrian safety and pedestrian environments and how that relates to children, old folks, the disabled, and other folks who are currently temporarily abled anyway, so far. Just studying this, looking at the plan that our committee came up with, this is really the only way to improve the pedestrian environment from the park blocks west. The enhanced Burnside plan does not do anything for it. You still have 9-foot sidewalks and fast traffic right next to the sidewalk. The couplet proposal, I was initially skeptical, but it was the way to do it, to get a much better environment on Burnside without affecting traffic. The traffic engineers are to be believed, and we have no option to disbelieve them. I'm not a professional traffic engineer. That the traffic will flow equally as well on this couplet as it does now on Burnside, and possibly better. Crossings of Burnside will be better because you're only crossing two lanes. It won't be like Hawthorne. Hawthorne currently has four lanes, but it also has parking along the sides to buffer the pedestrians. Burnside does not have that in from the park blocks west. The couplet will improve the environment on Burnside. It will make improvements on Cooch, including signalizing all the intersections, signalizing crossing Broadway, which is now very difficult. The area around 405 on Cooch is very dangerous with the freeway on-ramp there. I think in total, the effect will be much better for pedestrians with the couplet. And I think the effect on Cooch will not be that bad. The Cathedral School, that is an issue to be studied, and that is sort of an issue that can be separated from the rest of the couplet. So I hope that we can study that and come up with a way to get all the benefits of the couplet, including primarily...
Sir, your time is up.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I misread the thing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Last person who signed up was Jerry Ward.
Thank you. Jerry Ward, I'm an architect planner with Ward Architecture. I serve on the North McAdam Urban Renewal Advisory Committee with PDC representing South Portland. I first want to say fellow architect Bing Sheldon in today's Oregonian editorial summed up well all of the blog's newspaper's opposition to the couplet idea when he essentially said, why spread the conditions of Burnside to two streets? And Dennis Wild of Girdling Eadland today seconded that analysis in today's testimony. Second issue is the cost issue of $84 million. That is a very soft number. In all of the South Waterfront 1999 budget projects that we have, every one of them exceeded budget. And particularly, we know about the tram. It was $8.5 million that was sold to the neighborhood initially, and today's cost is $170 million. And I say that because it's hard and soft costs both. And so you have to look at really the soft numbers of that. And the question becomes, how does this council and commission, Commissioner Adams, believe that the $84 million estimated cost is achievable if so many recent city projects have been 3 times to 20 times over budget? And as Commissioner Saltzman noted in his question, what is the economic benefit if the budget is 3 to 20 times over budget? Also, urban renewal. I'm pretty knowledgeable on that, and I know that urban renewal dollars will be used in this project. Does this Cooch and Burnside meet the criteria that the state statute says on urban renewal? It doesn't. It's not a blighted area, at least it's, in my opinion. The other thing is the historical significance of Burnside and the urban planning significance of that. New York City has Broadway, and thank God the planners of New York City did not make Broadway into a couplet, because the synergy, et cetera, of Broadway would be lost if they did that. And Burnside is not a back door, as someone said today, or a back door street. As a third-generation Oregonian, Burnside, to people have always, who have lived throughout Oregon, have always considered Burnside as a defining street. We give directions, we give distances based on, oh, it's so many blocks north, south of Burnside, and that will be diluted somewhat by this proposal. I encourage you to listen to the Planning Commission and the Planning Bureau, and thank you.
Thank you.
Sumner Sharp had signed up, and he's here. And also we have the BES, Linda Dobson, and Dave Elkin.
Who else was going to come up?
We'll sit down. You can do your thing.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Mayor, members of the commission, thank you for the time. I live at 9157 Northwest Germantown Road, but for about 5 years I was involved in the planning process as part of the consulting team working with the city on this project. And I know you've heard a lot of comments about the process, but two or three things. First of all, I've been involved with community groups the last 40 years, working with them and trying to deal with policy issues. And I would say this has been among maybe the one or two items of opportunities I can identify as having being a totally open process, public process, in which really the solution grew out of this discussion. It was also about East and West. It was not just about West Side. And the public record was clearly established at the end of the concept plan. The council at that time unanimously approved moving ahead with a couplet idea. So I just want to raise two or three policy questions, I think, which are critical. One is about the sidewalks and streets of Portland really belong to all of us, not just to people who live abutting or do business abutting those sidewalks and streets. They really belong to all of us as citizens of the city. Second, if the idea of extending the one-way grid is a bad idea on the west side, I'm a little bit puzzled why the Planning Commission and the Planning Bureau haven't raised the question it's a bad idea on the east side. I'm just a little bit perplexed about the policy question, but if it's not a good idea, why are we doing it in the east? Why is it okay on one side and not the other? It was all about east and west. And in many ways, the bottom line was identifying and responding to the issues that previous councils had adopted in plans. And I think it's important that those plans that are adopted stand the test, and we built this plan around the adopted plans and actions of previous councils. And finally, there's a policy question, I think, about delaying decisions that are really in process. 7 years of public investment and time and energy of citizens to move this forward. If we're delaying these decisions, are we delaying others for Central City Plan update? And if this had been the city's policy at the time of the original Central City Plan, this Pearl District rezoning would have been delayed dramatically. Thank you.
Sorry, you have a great presentation. We'll put it online.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sorry.
Yes.
Is that it?
That's all who signed up. There were some people who didn't get to sign up or might want to still speak. It's up to the council.
Anybody out there who wished to speak? Please come forward.
Probably worth an arrow in the back, right? This one.
Or the front.
How about the front?
Two arrows.
Having heard from your company.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Bill Stevenson, and I'm a resident of the Pearl District, and I'd just like to add my support to all the other people who have given their support to this visionary plan. Thank you very much for the plan, and I definitely support it with the addition of the streetcar. I'd like to say that I live in the Pearl District. I believe it's a downtown neighborhood. I'm happy to live in the downtown of Portland. I think that each of the neighborhoods that are touched by the Burnside-Couche couplet are downtown neighborhoods, and I think that the couplet is a downtown solution to the problems of Burnside. And so I very much value the couplet as plan. I urge you to vote in favor of it. Thank you.
My name is Christopher Kopka, and today I'm speaking on behalf of the Friends of Burnside. And obviously, numbers of us have spoke before, so I'm going to try not to repeat those points. But more than anything, what I'd like to do for you is sort of de-emotionalize the conversation about the amount of traffic that would happen on Couche and Burnside. It's important that you understand this in sort of comprehensible terms, I think, so people can gauge it correctly, because I think there's a lot of emotion behind it right now. So what will Couche and Burnside be like in terms of the amount of traffic it will see in the future under this proposal? It will be like Alder and Washington in the same segment of downtown. Yes, it's urban. Yes, it carries a fair amount of traffic. Yes, it operates safely and conveniently and comfortably. And that's something to keep in mind. It is not damaging to a neighborhood. It's not damaging to the businesses along Alder and Washington Street today. It's a system that works. The Friends of Burnside also understand the concerns raised today, particularly by the cathedral family. Our observation is that you need not make a final decision. In fact, you're not making a final decision about the project today if you approve the action that's before you, and that you'll have the opportunity and time to study really whether the impacts are of the nature that have been described. You'll have the chance to study that with 35% engineering behind you, and I think you'll be able to make a reasoned decision at that point. So we're supportive of carrying it forward, at least for purposes of further study. Last, I want to remind, this is really about making two good streets, both Burnside and Couche. Friends of Burnside would submit that certainly Couche, particularly in the Pearl District, is a great street. The eastern half of Couche is not. It is dead, it is stagnant, it has suffered for years, and you need to think about all of Couche, not just part of Couche. So our hope is that you will look at this proposal, you will think about the full breadth of the city. We will hope you'll take action, because we believe we have not only the beginnings of a project in place, but you have the spirit of the development community behind you at this point and wanting to act, willing to commit to projects, willing to proceed, and it has the kind of momentum that can help make a change in the city in the near term. Thank you.
Thanks, folks. Discussion?
Should we just jump in? Or?
Yes.
Maybe I'll speak to of smaller issues, and I want to, Commissioner Adams, get a little bit of sense of how you want to approach the process. I definitely have some thoughts for amendments. I do not have them written up because I wanted to listen to the testimony before I made any decisions. And so would you want to try and craft some things here or talk about the concepts and bring them back? Should we see how that goes?
Whatever the council's wishes, that my preference would be to go ahead and wordsmith it here and get it done tonight if that's possible.
Okay. And before I say this, I would say, having been on the council in 2002 when we voted to put this plan in place, I think it's, and I will also say, and maybe elaborate on this a little bit more, that this is a really good discussion that's been going on despite how heated it is, and I've probably never found as many conversations I've had over the last 12 months with as many people who are very, very compelling on both sides. I usually find myself able to not get convinced each time I talk to the other side, but that kept happening to me. And I concluded that there was a reason for that, and it was strengthened at this hearing, which is that I think the pro couplet side is focusing on how bad Burnside is, and the anti couplet side is focusing on how great Cooch is. And I think that's the argument in a nutshell. And I think the couplet is worse for Cooch, to be blunt. And I think keeping it like it is, Burnside's pretty bad. And so I'm still going to seek a little bit to see if there's some ways to at least shave a little bit off of what's happening to both sides. And I do think Burnside is pretty bad as somebody who both walks it and drives it. And I live on the east side, and when I come from anywhere in Northwest and try and get home on Burnside, the inability to take a left is just stifling. And it's, I don't think it has to be iconic. It can be iconic, I think, whether it's one way or two ways. I think I also found a lot of good arguments from some of the people I respect a lot, Mike McCulloch and others, who are saying that we don't quite have this yet. I think we don't quite have it where it is. So I'll stop there on my first comments. I am inclined to stop the couplet at 15th. I think that the testimony of the Cathedral Group is compelling, and I don't think we get as much as we lose by pushing it further. And that was the original design that I think actually had a lot more people work through it. So I'd be inclined to stop it at 15th at this point as a first comment. So I'll throw that to the council for discussion.
I actually, and Commissioner Stennett and I have not discussed this, but I've reached much the same conclusions as you in the same kinds of conversations as you have, up to and including appreciating you recommending that the couplet stop at 15th.
Clarifying question. Does that, in your thought process, are you referring to the car couplet and the streetcar would continue on Cooch?
Well, I kind of think it needs a little bit more conversation with the Cathedral Group and some of the others. I mean, I've got kind of two things that are going on here, and what I'm hoping to do coming out of this, and I think this is what generally happens, is when sides wage this strong a fight, and this has been going on hard with every way I can be communicated with by good friends on both sides, it's happened. What I found is that when we narrow down some of the options later, what happens is sometimes some compromises develop that were not possible when the two sides were fighting for, you know, the overall win. So my inclination would be that it might be possible to get the streetcar to work by Cathedral, but I think given the, certainly not the cars, and given the perceptions and other pieces, you know, I'm not sure if I would actually push it that hard. But I think it'd be worth a conversation by transportation and streetcar advocates to kind of talk through with the school were the streetcar still possible to run down that street, what might that be like. I don't think a streetcar coming by a couple times an hour would have the same impact as the cars in terms of what the kids were talking about. But if I had to pick right now, I would say just stop it at 15th and not run anything that far.
So you're talking about all vehicle traffic not occurring at Cathedral School, or allowing what is currently happening?
Yeah, just keeping it like it is.
Yep. Okay.
Including streetcar.
And then you're open to the streetcar one way or the other?
Yeah, I'm still thinking. I don't feel like I can just sit up here and say the streetcar shouldn't go there. I don't think the car should go up there. I don't think it accomplishes all that much. I think the original design was right on that. What's changed is that the original design did not have a streetcar in it.
Well, I'm persuaded by the testimony to return the car traffic on 15th to Burnside. I'd still like to leave open the option, given the narrowness of Burnside between 15th and 19th, I'd still like to leave on the table the option of the streetcar from 15th to 19th on Cooch. And we have had conversations with school and church officials about that possibility. It is possible. We've done some preliminary work, and we know that it is possible to put it on the south side of the street on Cooch by the school, so that it would have sidewalk, Ballard's, parking, travel lane, streetcar lane. So there are some possibilities there. But
so the primary concern with, from your perspective and PDOT's, is that if the streetcar were to head over to Burnside at 15th, is so narrow between 15th and 19th that it would eat up too much of the space?
It's workable. It's just less ideal than keeping the streetcar off of Burnside between 15th and 19th.
So what specifically would be the compromise between 15th and 19th on Burnside if the streetcar went both ways?
What would be the compromise?
What would be compromised?
We would have, if we can't get additional right-of-way, which there is a block that might be possible that is currently owned by the church, we would have to narrow the travel lanes or eat into the sidewalk. So it is doable. It's just more, there's more flexibility. There's less congestion between 15th and 19th by putting the streetcar up from on Cooch. I think it's a good compromise to not have the traffic go up between 15th and 19th.
I'm sorry if I keep asking this different ways, but I'm trying to get a clear view in my mind. But so if you have the car, the streetcar go up 15th and then down 19th to Burnside and back, what does that allow you to do that you might otherwise not be able to do between 15th and 19th on Burnside?
If there's only one line of streetcars on Burnside going from west to east between 19th and 15th, it just has fewer things in the right-of-way at a point of Burnside that is particularly constricted right now. The right-of-way is particularly constricted. We could make it work, but it would be, I think it's a fair representation from the experts that it would be better if the streetcar going from west east to west on Cooch stayed on Cooch up to 19th and then went over. But it is, either option is workable, and if you want to leave it open, we can study both options. We're open to that as well.
Well, my sense of the best we could get out of this hearing today would be to narrow some of the choices down so that people can then begin to work on those. I think the council has enough information to make some decisions. I mean, I think the idea of leaving this thing completely in limbo for another stretch of time is not going to work. I mean, there's been an argument for that, I understand it. I think it won't work. I'm prepared based on what I know to support saying no cars past 15th, and no cars in terms of the couplet. It stays as it is. I think we should... I'm open to continue to do some work on whether or not the streetcar is best on Cooch or on Burnside, with kind of my personal just one vote instinct is I would err on the side of not putting on Cooch if it can't be sort of worked out to the satisfaction of the various constituencies that depend upon that stretch actually being safe and quiet.
I've got some issues I'd like to have addressed. And when I left home this morning, my wife asked me how I was going to vote, and I said, I really don't know. I wanted to hear what was going to be said tonight. Now that I've heard, there are some issues that I would need some clarification on. One is the timelines. I've not really heard, if we were to start building this, approve this today, how long in the future this would actually occur, because that would affect how we would then treat Burnside up until that time in terms of safety for pedestrians and traffic flow.
Bill Hoffman.
But I also, let me get the other three out, and then we'll be glad to have Bill up.
Okay.
Because it also then ties into the transportation priorities for the city of Portland. We've got a number of transportation issues on our plate. We have the actual freeway loop. We've got several streetcar priorities, including the east side loop, including the streetcar to Lake Oswego, the light rail system to Milwaukee, the east Burnside Cooch couplet, and attendant traffic issues with that. So in terms of priorities, all of those involve cost. And my biggest concern is if we make a decision in a framework where we don't understand how this will affect our other priorities and how this will affect the cost, and where do we find the money to pay for all of this? Quite frankly, I like many parts of this plan, but I'm very concerned about what will this do in terms of not just building these kind of systems, but also providing the operating and maintenance funds to ensure that those systems function and do what they're supposed to do. So it's about timelines, transportation priorities, cost to build and maintain, and how do these then fit within the framework of the comp plan and the central city plan? I've not heard those, and I'd be very interested. Failing everything else, I think that the council, regardless of what it does tonight, should move quickly to relieve the pedestrian issues on West Burnside so that we can ensure that until such time as changes are made that we could provide for the safety and well-being, and also perhaps bridge some of that gap between the north and south sides of Burnside.
I guess I'd like to. Well, no, I don't think we need at this point. I want to get my concerns out there. I guess picking up what the mayor said, I'm not comfortable letting go of the enhanced Burnside alternative. I'm not necessarily saying drag this into perpetuity, but, you know, I guess I've been traumatized, and I'm not comfortable buying into one option when I feel very confident that these cost estimates that we're talking about now and basing projections on rate of return have any relation to what the real cost will be. And I think we need to have, you know, as Mr. Adams has well established, confidence levels about capital cost projects. I think we need to carry forward the enhanced project or the enhanced Burnside alternative to a 35% engineering point of view and then make a decision here. I think that, you know, we have other competing transit priorities. As the mayor said, we have the East Side Streetcar Loop, we have Milwaukee to Light Rail, Milwaukee Light Rail, and we have not a grip yet on how we're going to pay our local share for either one of those projects. And my concern is sort of the Burnside Streetcar Chic can easily eclipse our ability to pay for those projects at the expense of putting everything into the Burnside Streetcar, because it does have more, you know, sex appeal to a lot of people who inhabit these chambers and who lobby us. So I think that that's, you know, something I want to see is, in order for me to support anything, would be we got to look at the enhanced Burnside alternative. I am concerned, you know, also about the intrusion of traffic on Cooch. Certainly, you know, I think the Emerson School has legitimate concerns, residents of the Henry and Cathedral. I think we need to, and I don't think the enhanced Burnside alternative has really been fleshed out. I think it's been talked about. It's been assumed trees are going to be cut down. You know, we can't widen sidewalks. We can't do left turns. I don't think any of that has really been taken to a sophisticated level of saying that's more than anecdotal information. And so I think we're kind of winging it on both options. And I would prefer, and I don't think the expense would be great, to figure out how we're going to pay for all this, what's the priority sequencing, and then also, you know, carry forward both options.
Well, I have to say that, you know, I've listened, as others have said here, very carefully this past year to this raging debate. And the one thing that I've asked more than once about is what people's expectations were when they moved to downtown Portland. I mean, we are the 23rd largest city in the United States. And I guess the argument that there was going to be traffic or even increased traffic on a major downtown street leaves me a little speechless for anybody to have that kind of a reaction when they've chosen to move to downtown Portland, which doesn't mean we should exponentially look for strategies to increase traffic. But again, I mean, and I've lived in Portland all my life, I think I have a pretty good understanding of what different neighborhoods are going to be like in terms of congestion and in terms of density. And certainly when I think of the Pearl in that area, I think of major density, major issues in getting in and out, major issues of traffic. That's just a given when you decide to move downtown. I think the suggestion that we're going on the fly, I can't remember if that's exactly what you said, Commissioner Saltzman,
winging it.
I, too, three of us were here in 2002 when we heard this original plan. This is 2007. I think I've heard more about this than anything I've ever dealt with since I've been here, or maybe anything in my life. So I'm not, Commissioner Addison can stick up for himself, and I'm not trying to defend him, but I am saying that, you know, some of the criticisms I've heard leveled at him here today, some of them bordering on the personal, and then the suggestion that this hasn't been a thorough process, just don't really fly with me.
Well, you know, I was here in 2002, as you said, and I supported the couplet at the time, the concept, and I think that was, you know, things have changed in the intervening 5 years. I think, as Dennis Wilde of Girding Eagle said, you know, Cooch Street, at least in that four-block segment, has had become, you know, a street that is to be envied in the country, I believe were his words. And so I don't want to take that lightly.
But we knew that. I mean, in 2002, we all understood what the development was of the Pearl in 2002 and what it was going to be and what it was our plan. I mean, we designed the Pearl to do that.
that might lead me to a second request I wanted to make in addition to stopping it at 15th. I believe I did not, when I voted on it, have a perception of how terrific Cooch was going to become, and I think it shows how fast things can change. And for that reason, I'm actually not in support of the couplet that I voted for 5 years ago, because I think things have changed. What I see as the potential middle ground, and I'm still using the word potential because I want to make sure people understand that if we can come up with a package that I can support and I vote to move forward, there's a lot of work that has to be done, including funding it, before it would get done. And it does have to be put in priority order, like the mayor said. So this, to me, does not become a done deal. It becomes the next step, and hopefully it narrows the place so we can get some of the folks of goodwill talking some more. But what I would support that was not the original one was the streetcar in there. And I think potentially designed right, a streetcar down Cooch has the ability to, it will be more busy for sure, but to create more of the kind of urban ambiance that has sprung up in the last 5 years and less of the traffic mover that was, and I think that's the change that's really very strong. But I would like to have language that can only be changed by this council that makes it absolutely clear that there will be no implementation of any couplet without the streetcar as a funded part of it. And that begs it so that it can't become sort of a bait and switch where we go back to the couplet. Because I think the reason I don't support the original couplet, and I did at the time, is the emergence of Cooch. I do note, you know, this I think the streetcar will be part of hopefully making something better. And I would like to see some real charrette work, some real directed efforts. I'd like to get some of the really great architects and urban designers to specifically take a look at the Emerson School area and the areas that have been raised today and go back in and say, okay, if we were going to do a, you know, the council is interested in it, if we're going to do a streetcar and a couplet, how could we work with it to reach the kind of levels that Rick and Bill and others were talking about? Maybe it can't be done, but I'd like to take that hard look. I do note that both the low-income and high-end business interests, and there are both now, which is terrific, in Old Town are united behind the couplet. So the issue where it falls apart, and that's the area that on downtown Cooch that's the worst, the area that it falls apart in terms of public support is that stretch from the Emerson School essentially to up to Whole Foods or wherever you want to draw the line. And so I think that area continues. I think there may be some ways to put in some amenities and other things that, no, you don't win if you're against it in that area, but maybe it starts to reach that level. And so for me, that's the compromise. The last thing I would say is that then that says that there's another step that we have to take, and I don't know exactly how to do it, and I want to have Sam give some thought to this, and hopefully Gil Kelly, who I think, you know, is sort of stunningly absent from this conversation, and I don't know why. I mean, to have a conversation at this level without, you know, the planning director in it is new to me.
I think I need to interject.
I just want to finish my thought.
Well, but the reason he's not here, I think, is he's been asked to excuse himself, as has been communicated to me from these discussions.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm just saying what I think is then, okay,
I know,
and this will be my last. I'm being a little long-winded, but I want to get through this thought process and I'll be done, is that I think the couplet has to be tied to a funded streetcar. We should not go forward. And I don't think we can make the decision to fund the streetcar until it's part of the Central City Plan discussion. And I don't think that means that Sam can't move forward on doing some engineering. I think we need to do some more very specific engineering, to be blunt, on some of these problem areas. But I think that whether or not we're going to pay for a streetcar down these two roads really has to be part of the Central City Plan discussion, because by paying for the streetcar, we will not pay for something else. That much I know. And so that, to me, is the piece that ought to go into the bigger planning discussion and sort of drive this thing.
What about the broader part of how do we pay for the other competing transit investments, too? And if we make that link, that
can I speak to that at some point? Can I answer your question at some point, Mayor?
Please go ahead.
Okay.
And I'm done.
In terms of competing transit projects, there are four. And the streetcar now has access to FTA small starts, and that's replenished every year. We have been recommended for the East Side Loop. That is a recommendation. We're number one in the hopper for our streetcar loop project from FTA to Congress. Congress will be acting on that shortly. That's in first position. In second position.
That's less than half of the project cost.
That is half of the project. It's up to $75 million.
I understand the project cost is $176
million. That's not the cost of the project. Cost of the project, I think, is currently slated at $146, more or less, about $150 million. The rest of it, the funding plan that we're working from, then includes an amount from tax increment financing, local improvement districts, which was recently increased this past week by the steering committee to $15 million. We have an ask down in Salem. We're pursuing a funding package actively right now to get our local match. They're not from resources that would come from either the Lake Oswego, potential Lake Oswego line, or this line, or anything else. So the reauthorization is every year for the small starts. And this city is further ahead in terms of our capacity to do streetcar ask of the federal government. And they encouraged us to apply for the East Side line. They want to fund streetcar lines. So there's that. The rest of it, project money for this, has to come from, you know, I talked about at the beginning, Burnside is broken. It should have been invested in with GTR funding a long time ago. It's about a $20 million basic rebuild if you do nothing else. If you don't change anything, it's about $20 million. If you don't make it any more turns or anything else, the city should be on the hook for that $20 million. That's fair. The rest of the project, whatever it turns out to be, should be funded by proceeds related to the geographic area in which the project will go. And you saw that list at the beginning of about 13 items, potential funding sources, in which we could do that. In terms of operating support, on this particular one, it's the city usually pays a third of the operating support, or does now pay a third of the operating support for streetcars. We're in the process of TriMet pays the other two-thirds, and we're in negotiations on with TriMet on the East Side streetcar operations. In this particular case, when you look at this as a possibility, we currently do not have meters. Those 200 meters that would be added to this project are a rich source of an obvious source for operating support for this particular line. That's not an option that we readily have on the East Side streetcar for operating support because the parking demand and much of that alignment is not there. So we're looking at other resources. What we have failed to do, I would argue, as a city, is have projects in the hopper in terms of R&D around transit. We just committed ourselves to a 50% reduction in fossil fuel usage in the next 25 years, while at the same time, the population is going to increase 50%. We can no longer do things the way we have. We can no longer keep the same level of investment that we have over the past 10 years. We have to ramp it up. We do not have it all figured out how to pay for everything right now that we've got in the hopper. Some of these things are in sort of the R&D basis. How does this fit into the big picture? As council might know, as you need to know, last year I asked the city council for some money to do some citywide rail planning. That is done, and it'll be done in coordination with the look at the continuous work to improve the comp plan, the central city plan, everything else. The initial look at that shows that this is a really good high candidate for a streetcar. There are few places in the city, but some of them include 122nd Avenue, 82nd Avenue. When you go further out, Sandy Boulevard, East and West Burnside, those are all potential redevelopment opportunities along with potential streetcar line extensions. So this will either be confirmed or not by the citywide rail strategy, which is underway right now. And if it's not confirmed, council, it will take a year to do the preliminary engineering at least. And council will have the option after the preliminary engineering comes back to decide what to do at that time. I share Commissioner Stinn's passion that this is a project that I put forward. It is a streetcar and car couplet. For me, they're indivisible. We'll see what comes back from the preliminary engineering. In terms of being traumatized, I don't think there are a few people in the room more traumatized than I am. Having had to make sure that that came in on budget. And what happened with the tram that you do not see PDOT repeating anymore, and that is I'm asking you for what concept to put into move forward for preliminary engineering.
And this council and I myself reserve the right, when that information comes back, to change our minds. We are not giving the ultimate yes today to this project. We are giving a yes only to the concept that goes in for